Well, it's always wonderful to be able to come to the house of the Lord, to be able to feel His lovely presence. It's good to see Brother Richard and the family back. I saw the little ones coming in tonight. It's a long, long trip from here to California. I've been there quite a number of times, and most of the time we go, we drive it instead of flying, and it's a long, long ways. It's good to see the people back safe, knowing that they encounter the danger they do in going. Brother Gary was telling me today that he had a night vision of us, and in the night vision he saw us hungering and thirsting after the things of God, which is very true. As a matter of fact, this very day, I've hungered so greatly after the wonderful things of God, just thirsting. And every day, my life hungers and thirsts after the wonderful things of Jesus. Brother Gary said he also saw in the vision where he became hungering and thirsting after the things of God, which sounds real wonderful. Well, we're still trying to do something for God. Thinking today how we need to do something for Jesus. He hardly rests day or night, over the night time, over the morning, whenever. I can't hardly rest for thinking about needing to do something for Christ. And as we see the day approaching, the Bible tells us to exhort each other the more, and I can very clearly see it approaching. The Bible tells us that when you see all of these things that the Scriptures speak of, then know that it's nigh even at the door. And it's very obvious that the end of the world is upon us. No doubt about it. Thinking about some of them that was working in the cold yesterday, that was out in the cold wind working. I asked them to stop and finally quit, but they've been working out there for few hours in the cold wind. And I was just thinking as I watched them how needful it is for people in the world today to be willing to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. Not very many people in the world today want to bear the cross. It's like a song we wrote one time, they'd like to have a crown, but they don't want to bear the cross. Not very many people want to help when it comes to the work, when it comes to laboring, when it comes to giving or sharing. Not very many people are interested. But I don't know anybody, I've never talked to any individual in my life that wanted to go to hell. Not one person have I ever met that I ever talked to that wanted to go to hell. But yet, not very many people want to do anything for God. Not very many people want to conform to the life of Jesus or to submit to the Heavenly Father's desire or to share in the responsibilities of establishing His kingdom in the world or the earth today. So then it's really something when you stop to think about it. I see the need for me to do more. I seem to be doing so little. But I see a great need for me to do more than I've ever done in my life. And, of course, we're making an effort. Seems like we're not nearly doing what I'd like to do, but we are making an effort to do something for Christ that we might meet Him in peace at His coming. A lot of people are not going to meet God in peace at His coming. God's going to be very wroth toward them, and they're going to be very fearful when they see Him appear in the heavens, because they've not done the things that pleased Him. They've not taken up any of their time or any of their life in doing His pleasure and doing His will. You know, that's really a terrible thought. When you stop to think about it, that's a horrible thing, to think that we haven't done His pleasure. Whereas He's given us so much, even our very lives, and yet we've done so little for him. And to think that we have not done his pleasure, when the Bible said that all things was created for him and by him and for his pleasure were they created. Not anything in the world was created except for his pleasure, which means that you and I were created for his pleasure, and yet we've not done his pleasure. We've not done his desire. We've been contrary to his pleasure, and we've become very grievous in not doing his will and his desire to his pleasure. So then we're going to meet a God that's very wroth in that day unless we change our way of living and we do something for him. I want to say again that we're happy to be here tonight. Glad to have my wife's mother with us. She hasn't been up in a good little while now. We're always glad to see her. Appreciate and love her very much. It means a lot for us to come up and be with us. Glad to have Brother Al and the wife home. They come in, I believe it was yesterday morning, was it, Al? Yesterday morning they came in and seemed to be in good spirit, and Al seemed to be feeling pretty good. I think he stopped over in Louisiana and done some ministering on the way. It's good to have them back home safe. They've been gone a long time. And coming back home, it's good to have them here, knowing that they're well, haven't had a wreck, and nothing bad has happened. I heard today that Brother Tommy Clark's boy, I believe, was it, had a wreck. I don't think he got hurt. I don't know how bad he wrecked his car. As far as I know, that's the right report. Is that right, Tommy? I just thank God that he didn't get hurt in the wreck. It appears that winter is here. At least it's cold. Seems like the weather's been up and down. And at last it got here. I'm asking the Lord to warm it up a little bit so we can pour the cement. Satan tugged at that thing and hindered and drug it out till the very day that we was finishing up with it, real cold weather set in. I think they pretty well finished up with it yesterday, and they had a little more they was trying to do today on it, trying to pull a little detail work together. And, of course, I suppose probably by tomorrow evening, Clyde, y'all will probably be winding that thing up all together, won't you? I had planned to pour those walls on this coming Saturday morning, if the Lord's will, starting Saturday morning. And looks like everything's working favorable for us to do it. I think maybe we can do it. The brethren are making a drive to see to it that we can. And of course, that has a great, great significance. People who are natural-minded, carnal-minded, they really don't understand spiritual things. And of course, as a result of that, they never really see the moving of God. During their entire lifetime, they never really see the moving of God. I have in my lifetime heard a lot of people talk about the move of God. I've heard it all down through my life, people talking about the move of God. But I've never met very many people that really ever seen the move of God. To really get into revelation and in the mind of Christ and to see the revelation of the Lord Jesus unveil itself is to behold the move of God. Jesus said one time, I see always the things my Father does. Always the things that the Father does. God being a spirit, to be able to see the things that the Spirit does is to be able to see God moving, or the move of God. And I've never met very many people in my life that sees that. But I thank the Lord that I've been fortunate enough to see the move of God. And I've talked to a few people that has gotten in on the move of God, but not very many. In traveling around the world, and across the United States, Canada, Mexico, the islands wherever. I've never met but very few that's ever gotten into the real things of God. But there's one thing that we all have access to, though we don't get into the things like the prophets of old. There wasn't that many prophets, so there's not that many people that get into those things. But we all have access to one thing, and that is the grace of God. Whether we be good or whether we be bad, we still have access to the blood that's on the seat of atonement and the grace of God. And even though we have access to it, it's not going to benefit all of us in an eternal benefit. Though it does benefit all of us in that we all have access to it and we have a day of grace, we have a time of blessing, and God is with us and He helps us through this life. If it wasn't for the blood on the seat of atonement, He'd kill all of us. We couldn't even survive. That's Bible. We couldn't even survive. The world couldn't even exist. God couldn't even tolerate us except for the blood that's on the seat of atonement. But even having the blood on the seat of atonement, that God might tolerate our mannerism during the days of grace or during our lifetime, that still does not give us the eternal benefit that God had intended by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and the spilling of the blood. So then some of you have access to the benefits in an eternal way. Some of you just have access to the benefit. And as I say, you might never get into the glorious, wonderful revelation of the Lord. You may never be partakers of the hidden manna in that you did not overcome in the flesh or in the world. But at the same time, you are partakers of the benefit in the sense of the days of grace. A lot of things are happening. A lot of great, marvelous things. And of course, we've been discussing some of them. Been talking a little bit about these things, and some of the people are enthused about them. They're moved about them. Because in these things, there's quite a number of predictions that we have made. They've come to pass. And a lot of things that we've said and talked about, they've come to be exactly the way that we have said them. And because of this, it has stirred some of them to realize even more the reality of the mind of Christ and the things of God. Whereas these things that are coming to pass now, that is the predictions that are taking place now, denote that the end of the world is here. Made a lot of predictions, a lot of predictions. Those predictions have come to pass, spoke of prophecies and different things, revelation. But these predictions that are coming to pass now is positively the end of the world. When I made these predictions, according to the knowledge and understanding of God, and I made them with the understanding that when these came to pass, it would be the end of the world. And they came to pass exactly the way that God said they would. The revelation unveiled and unfolded exactly the way that He said it would, having showed me this many years ago. And it's happened right down to the T the way that He said it would. And in that it has happened right down to the very, very letter, as we say, in the sense of accuracy, then that means that the end of the world is here. And it doesn't bother me for the end of the world to come. I don't have any fear of the end of the world coming. I don't have any fear of the Lord coming. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I have a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. I don't have any fear of death coming because those things don't trouble me and they don't bother me. I think about my loved ones and I think about the people in that I love humanity. And I think of the sorrow and the heartaches in the acknowledgement that the end of the world is here. I think about it. It really moves me because I am a minister of the gospel and I don't like the idea of anybody going into hell. And yet I know that the multitudes will go into hell because David and others of the Old Testament, they spoke of it, said that the multitudes were turned into hell. So I know that very few there be that find it when it comes to those that are going to have eternal life. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many shall enter therein. So then, it doesn't bother me in the sense of the end of the world coming, only that I don't want to see my loved ones lost, and I don't want to see your loved ones lost. I don't want to see anybody's lost. And that, of course, is disturbing. But it's like I said a few days ago, Mr. Reagan, the president, I think he finally come to one decision, and that's the decision that I made in my heart numbers of years ago. I believe that he come to the same decision. And that is that we don't need to live under suppression, tenseness, and fear. I don't believe that people should live under fear and be tense all the time. If there's something that's going to happen, let's get it over with. If it takes blowing up the world to get the tension away and get things straightened out, then blow up the world. And if living all the time under fear and tension is supposed to be life, then I don't care for life. I'm like the man that said, give me liberty or give me death. He didn't want to live under a suppression all the time. I think what we need is men and women that want to do one way or another. You know, the days gone by, in the days gone by, the forefathers, they had people that really wanted to get the job done. Whatever it took, they wanted to get the job done. Patrick Henry was that way, and others was that way. And I feel that way. You know, you live over here under tension. As Americans, in every place that Betty and I go around the world, everybody we talk to is in the same condition. In Israel, they're under tension. In India, they're under tension. In South America, no matter where you go, everybody's under tension. In Russia, they're under tension. See, and Russia's afraid of America, and America's afraid of Russia. And then they're afraid of other countries, and other countries are afraid of other countries. And it's just one tense thing to where it's just wrecking people's minds and nerves. And I think Mr. Reagan just finally come to the place to where he felt like the best thing to do was get it over with, to do what he felt like doing. And if Russia wants to throw the bombs, let them throw them. Call their bluff, as we say. Let them call our bluff or whatever. Get it over with. Find out whether they're going to do it or not going to do it. If they're going to do it, let them do it. And if they ain't going to do it, then let them shut up and let's have some peace. That's the way I feel about it, folks. If I was the president, that's the way I'd be. And as a minister, that's the way I am. So it don't bother me at all. I feel good about the whole situation. I feel good about the decision that he made. He made a decision that was pleasing to me. It might not be to the others. And of course, everybody has to make their own decision and feel the way that they feel about it. But to me, I think it was a very wise decision. And I'm not speaking of the war part. I don't think you can settle anything with planes and guns and knives and whatever the Bible says. The race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. That the battle belongs to the Lord. And that if you'll seek God, God will make your enemies to be at peace with you. I believe that. But in the sense of saying that he would stand with Israel, I believe that was the right decision. And we made the statement that they would do it, that America would do that. There'd come a time when America would do it. And that America and Israel would ally against all of the world. And that they had to do it because they represent Joseph and Benjamin. And Mr. Reagan's made the statement recently, said we will stand with Israel if it means a contest with Russia or a clash, as he put it, with Russia, the Soviet Union. He said, we will stand with them, and if Israel comes out of the UN, then we will come out. If you put Israel out of the UN, then America will also come out. That the ties between Israel and America will grow stronger, and they will never be broken. And said, so that No one gets the wrong idea, he said. I'll just put it blunt. That's the way it is. So, it sounded like he meant what he said. But I feel that that's the right thing. The Bible said, they that bless Israel shall be blessed, and they that curse Israel shall be cursed. That was the blessing upon Jacob. And of course, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. His sons were the Israelites. That's the 144,000 that will be sealed, is those that come from the sons of Jacob or Israel. A lot of things that we could say about that, because it has a great profound meaning. But I'm just going to comment just a little bit right here and not try to get into the revelation of it unless the Lord leads that way. But I feel that that's the right decision. For many years, Russia has waited for America to declare herself. That is, make a declaration of her standing or her status. And they've never done it. They've always appeared to go in one way or another way. And Russia had hoped to win the favor of America and other nations, the favor of America. They never could tell where she stood. So they've always held back. They've never started war because they didn't know where she stood, and they knew she was great and powerful, and they wanted to win America's favor and take over America by their government. And they've always held back, but they'll never hold back anymore. Never again. He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, the best thing to do is always just wait and see. You know, everything I've said down through the years when questions arose, I said, well, just wait and see. If it's wrong, you'll have time to find out, and then you'll know I'm a liar. I don't know what I'm talking about. But in the event that it does happen, then you'll know that the Lord let me know something about it. And it will happen. So then, now that America has declared herself, they know that America is 100% with Israel. No doubt about it. All nations know it. Reagan just as well has have said, I don't care about any other nation in the world when it comes to Israel. All of the nations of the UN, including Russia, you can do what you want to, but I'm with Israel 100%. I mean, he could have said it like that because that's what it was. And that means that all the nations know whether or not to confederate with America or to confederate with Russia, or whatever they want to do. And of course, Russia knows exactly where America stands, and it is a true biblical fact that Russia's number one enemy is Israel. Because the Bible said there'll come a day in the last days that an evil thought will come into the minds of Gog and Magog, which is Russia. And they will say one to another, let us go up under the city with unfenced walls and take for ourselves a spoil. That is, to the city without protection. And of course, Israel is a very, very small nation. Just a few hundred thousand people. So, that means that the evil thought will come to Gog and Magog down, working through Syria against Israel, God working through America, that is, America working through Israel against the Soviet Union. One will work through one against another. That is to say, Russia is going to work through Syria to overthrow America. America through Israel to overthrow Russia. And we made the statement that Antichrist, that thing would work out of a little nation, come forth out of a small people, and it had to do with Syria and the man that went down to Egypt, that fled from Syria, that died in Egypt. And all of a sudden, we find out that they are reinstating what they call the Caliph, which is the high priest of the city of Mecca, the holy city. That is, the Muslims are doing this. I believe it was about 1924 that the Turks done away with it. The Turks also, about Around 1400 to 1500, closing the gates through which Jesus went. Been closed since. All of a sudden, they have approached Khomeini, asking him to take the position of the caliph, reinstating the thing, and in the event that he does it, it makes him ruler over 900 million people, which of course is a little nation jumping up to a world power overnight. Being the ruler over near a fourth of the entire world population. And you can imagine if they repopulate, multiply, 900 million people multiplying, you can get some idea of how great his kingdom will be. And then, of course, when you think of the influence, how influential 900 million religious people will be to neighbors and people around and about them, you can get some idea of his power. Knowing Khomeini and knowing the way that he treated America concerning the prisoners, and knowing how brutal that he was in killing the people that was right around him that resisted him, there's no doubt as to his attitude. No wondering as to his attitude. So then whether he accepts it or whatever comes out of it, I just said those few things to let you know that the end of the world is here. Since America has declared herself, then that means that Russia will do nothing less than aim those missiles at America, and so will Cuba and every other nation that is in contest with her. And they'll prepare for war. They won't worry about it anymore. There won't be any more. Any peace talk that they have from now on just be a deceit. So then anything that they do now will be a deceitful thing to get the upper hand of the other, because they're definitely going to set forth to attack us. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the valley. He's that bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Oh, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Oh, everybody ought to know. Sing it again. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Oh, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is, and everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. You love Jesus. Let's just slip our hands up. Father God of heaven, how grateful we are from the bottom of our hearts to be able to hear the truth, to know the truth, knowing, as our brother has said, Peerless Times is here, the beginning of sorrows. But, oh God, our hearts look away to heaven. In spite of all of our tribulations and problems, our faith is still staunch in Jesus Christ the Lord, trusting in His merits and trusting in His glory, trusting in His finished works and in the life that He lived as He walked upon the earth. Oh God, how wonderful to have faith in Thee. Oh Lord, remember that when You walked the earth, how You exhorted the people to have faith in God. Lord, we have faith in You tonight. We're thanking You for the divine deliverance through the blood of Your lovely Son, Heavenly Father. Oh God, that's freely given to all that will call upon Your name, upon the lovely name of Jesus. Knowing that there's salvation in none other name, Father, we call upon Your lovely name. And oh God, around the world tonight, may they call upon the lovely name of Jesus. Oh Father of heaven, heal our people, save our people, forgive our people, deliver our people, instruct our people, help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Father, give us a burning zeal, a desire to do something for the Lord. Oh God, a zeal that's unsurpassed, a zeal with the knowledge of the Lord. Dear wonderful God, we thank You for every effort that we've been able to put forth for Your kingdom and Your glory. And especially, God, as a contribution to those that are needy wherever, my Father. May it ever be so. Bless us. Bless our children. Bless our darling loved ones, Father. Bless the people. Bless the people of Bethlehem. Bless the people of every Christian faith throughout the world tonight. Oh God, and give them healing and help and strength and faith and confidence. And let us continue to hurl the gospel around the world. Help us to do it in a greater measure, Father, than we've ever done before. Be with us tonight. Heal and strengthen every minister that's carrying the truth. Give them the blessings of God. Send prosperity upon them. Let them tell this wonderful, great story of Jesus. Help us for Christ's sake, in Jesus' name. Let's sing one more chorus. This is a little chorus I like. We sing it so often. I'm gonna enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter these courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made us glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. We're gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we're going to enter God's courts with praise. they're going to say, "This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me." Let's sing it one more time, can we? "We're gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart, and we're going to enter God's courts with praise. We're going to say, 'This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad.' Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, Jesus." Let's sing it just one more time, can we? "We're gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We're going to enter God's courts with praise. We're gonna say, 'This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice." I feel like we ought to sing at least one more time. "Let us enter these courts with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter these courts with praise. We're gonna say, 'This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're gonna rejoice, Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. Jesus made us glad, and we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. He hath made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad, and we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad." Can you say hallelujah? Praise God. Let's just lift our hands and love the Lord. Father, tonight we thank you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for the wonderful message that Brother Al brought. And dear God of heaven, we pray that your spirit would be here tonight. May the blessings of God be upon the people, Father. And may the great, wonderful moving of your spirit thrill our soul and heart. And God, may we have that drive for evangelism around the world. Oh God, Lord, may we publish the gospel. And Father, may this great spirit go throughout the world. Oh God, the power of your blessings, may it be all around the world tonight. Dear God, and may the hearts of Bethlehem rejoice. And dear God, as we look toward Christmas, the Christmas season, knowing, oh God, that at this time that people become conscious of a Christ that's been born into the world, may we rejoice, oh God, not as they rejoice, but Father, may we rejoice in the wonderful blessings of God, knowing the reality of Christ that's in our heart. Dear God, knowing that Christ is in our heart tonight in a real way, God, may we have the joy and abundance of blessings, dear God, from you through this Christmas season. Dear God, we love you, we praise you, we look to thee. And oh God, we're expecting to do something for you. We're expecting your great, wonderful blessings. God, that we can do great things for you throughout the world. Add your blessings to Bethlehem. Give us that wonderful drive that we need. God, may the stimulation of your Son be in our heart. I thank you tonight for the mighty blessings of God upon my own life. And dear God, upon my family. I ask you to bless us tonight. Lead us and help us. God, go with the people, especially through this Christmas season. Keep them safe in the time of danger. Oh God, watch over our loved ones. Help us to have a great time, Father, tonight and every night in the wonderful spirit and blessings of your Son, Jesus. Grant it in Jesus' wonderful name tonight. You're dismissed.